Amen.
Amen.
Is that okay? Well, if only I could get the last 3 days back as well, and I still had 3 more days to go before I went back to Northern Ireland with Monica. Whenever Pastor Hayden was talking about leaving Mark to the airport, I started to get concerned about my wife. About my wife and my luggage and my tickets, if he's just going to leave me at the airport. But before I even get into the message, I would really like to say from Monica and myself both, or from Monica and me, thank you very much. Just thank you very much for your very warm welcomes, for a bit of fellowship, for the preaching, and for your generosity. Because if it wasn't for you, quite literally, and financially and prayerfully, we wouldn't be here. So thank you all very, very much. I wish there were more words or other words that I could say that just expressed our thanks and our enjoyment at the time we've been able to spend with family and in church. We've enjoyed meeting with all of you. You're probably, who was I saying that to, Amy? You'd be glad to turn your ears back to American whenever I go home instead of flick them off of Northern Irish back to American so that you can actually understand the guy in the pulpit. But thank you very much. We really do appreciate it. And we have enjoyed the change, and we've enjoyed the rest, and just the time set aside in a desert place. Not your desert, but a desert place for me. We really have enjoyed it. So thank you. I don't know what happened on Sunday, but I just about made it out to the back of the church, and I had awful stomach cramps. I know many people would say that these are definitely the last days because people only care about themselves, but I had to call upon Monica to stop along the interstate, and I tried to look all dignified and holding on to the side of the van and just leaning over whilst the cramps grabbed a hold of me, but it didn't take more than 2 or 3 seconds till I was down on my hands and knees. It was that sore going. Pastor, I hope you get well and don't have what I had. I hope I didn't bring the plague into the church and I'm smiting people left, right, and center. Amen. But 2 vehicles actually stopped. And 4 young ladies came running up the hard shoulder, we call it the hard shoulder on the interstate, with a phone in hand, because I was on my hands and knees in my church clothes. I thought I was dying, and maybe it looked like I was dying, but they came running up, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And you know what? Even that made me feel better. Amen. That there still are people out there that will stop if you're having a spot of difficulty. Amen. I had the opportunity to return the compliment, if that's what it is, today in Walmart. We called up for a last minute goodbye to Walmart. I think all the tourists do that, don't you? Walmart, we love you, and we'll not see you for another few years. No, it wasn't that. There was a gentleman checking out under his car, and I thought, I can't not ask him. So I said, "Are you okay over there?" But most people are not used to hearing an Irish accent addressing them. So I had to say, "Excuse me." And he turned eventually and he said, "Do you need a hand? Do you need any help with something, changing the tire or something?" He said, a broken exhaust. I think the pipe had come away from the muffler. And he said, "You're not going to fix that with a jack and a spanner." So he sounds like he had a racing car as he left Walmart, but he was okay. So that's us. As they say in Northern Ireland, it's all done bar the shouting. And this is the shouting bit here. Thank you again. And bear with me just for another 20 minutes or so. This is the message that I had hoped to bring on Sunday morning, and I hope it will be a help to you. I've got a few verses. If you would like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Mark chapter 4. The book of Mark chapter 4. And turn to verse number 30, if you would, please. Amen. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 30. And I hope and pray that this will be a help to you. I just wish I could have been here longer and and helped out a bit more. Next time I'm here, if you've ever any computer problems, make sure all the computers meet me in the entryway. I can help with computers. But amen. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 30. These are the quoted words of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be on the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." I have one more verse that I want to use by way of my introduction. This one's from Matthew chapter 13. And it's a quote about all the parables. Matthew 13, 34. It's only one verse. You don't have to turn. Well, it's actually two verses. But the Lord said, or the Bible said, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Amen. Let's have another wee word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Father Dale, would you pray for us, please?
Yes, if
you
sir. Would. Father, we want to thank you for tonight. We do want to thank you for the freedom that we have here in America to be able to hear and come into together with the Word of God. We do ask that you bless the septic as we get it going together. We just ask that you be with the preacher tonight, give him the words, Lord. May we not just hear, but may we listen. May it drive us to believe, and that belief drive us to do something. And we may be different people than when we came in here. Lord, bless the preacher. Watch over him. Help us to listen to what he's got to say to us. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I have a little title for the message. It's called "I'm a Tree Too." Or "I am a tree as well," whichever one translates better in the Northern Irish accent. I love the parables because they do exactly what the Bible says. They give us an insight into things that the Lord never told anybody up until then about judgment, about the way of life, about the plan that God has for us and the way God was going to work things, and so many other things. But I like this one, and I used to wonder, what do mustard seeds have to do about anything? And you know what? It's okay to say to the Lord in prayer, most respectfully, "Lord, I have no idea what that scripture's about. Would you please open my understanding?" You've already said you would. If you're saved, he's given you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit promised to teach you all things. The Lord said the Holy Spirit would teach you all things. So I got to ask him, "Lord, what is the parable of the mustard seed about?" And I have an explanation. I'm not saying it's the definitive explanation, but sometimes it just takes a little bit of time for you to get to grips with portions of Scripture. In the meantime, just reading around them and read past them and before them and after them, and eventually you'll grow to the point. If you keep at it, you'll grow to the point where you can understand that and it's not a bother to. Anyway, I'm going to tell a parable about the parable. All right? This service deals with a problem that many Christians, many of us, have today. And it deals with us being made to feel by everything that because we're living for Jesus, that we don't have a life, that our lives aren't valid, or that we're only living half a life. And so I want to take a bit of time with this. My parable starts like this. One day, all the little plants, all the little trees, when they were only maybe a foot tall, they were all standing around talking to each other. And in case you get the saying, the pastor's crazy, he's talking about little plants talking to each other. It's in the Old Testament as well. The cedars and the briars, they used to chat away. So it's there already. They all got to talking to each other. And do you know what the way it is whenever little children would get together on the playground? There's always the odd one out, isn't there? So all the little trees, they were all about that size. They were all standing around talking to each other. And they were commenting upon their little leaves. Oh, your little leaves are lovely. He says, yes, they're just like your little leaves. And they were commenting about their little roots, just tiny little roots at the end of the tree. He says, oh, your little roots are lovely too. And they would talk about the colour of their bark and how smooth it was. And your bark's lovely and smooth too. And they would say all these things to each other. And then they looked over at the little mustard bush. And it was a funny looking little plant. It didn't look like the little trees. It sent out a bunch of wee shoots. It's a herb, like a bush. And they said, you don't look like us. Your branches, they're not at the top. They're all over the place. Your bark's a different colour. Your leaves are a different colour. And we can hardly even see your roots. And this went on for years and years. But you know what happens over a period of years and years? Lord willing, the next time we get back here, all the children will be a foot taller. If he's over 17, he's not a child anymore. All the kids, all the little kids that are this size will be about this size. Moms and dads will have a few more grey hairs and maybe a few more worry lines. We'll all be moving on with their lives. And this, it happens everywhere. And it happens in this little story as well. Over the years, the trees grew bigger, and every time they would comment about how much they were alike, their leaves were the same, and their branches, they all looked the same, and their bark, it was getting tougher and more able to withstand the rabbits that would, and all the other critters that would come and eat a fresh young sapling. And they were able to withstand the things of life, and their roots, they were spreading out and growing thicker so that they could draw sustenance back into the main body of the plant. And they'd point their finger over at the mustard tree and say, you look a bit funny. We can't really make out your roots. And your branches are growing sort of all jiggly all over the place. And your leaves are a different colour. Are you even a tree? You look more like a bush. And during the fullness of time, whenever they became mature trees, just like it says in the parable here, the birds of the trees, birds of the sky, even made their nests in the trees. Has anyone ever climbed a tree? Yeah, we've all climbed trees, or you should all climb trees. Many, and you see little bugs creeping about. You might even say, I've seen chipmunks. That's really cool for me. That's ordinary for you, but that's really cool for me. And squirrels, and they all climb up the trees to run away from predators. And you know what? Sometimes we even get to use the trees as well. On a day like this, well, for me anyway, I would hide under trees out of the sunshine for a few minutes whenever I can. Especially when Pastor Haynes working me to the bone cutting the grass. This fair skin and sun don't mix. And the trees would say, do you know what? We have birds nesting in our branches. On the frosty mornings, you can see the spiders that live amongst our branches because the frost decorates the webs and makes them look lovely. You can even take shelter under our leaves. We mentioned that already, but they're talking about how people come and rest under our leaves from the heat of the day. So do animals. We're what a tree should be. And they look over at the mustard tree and say, you know what? You were different to us whenever you were growing up. But you've got branches and a big trunk, and kids can climb up your branches as well, and the birds are even making their nests in your branches. The spiders, well, they spin their webs in your branches just like us. Kids climb them, people shelter under them, animals shelter under them. I would almost go so far as to say that you could be a tree as well. And the mustard tree would say, I am a tree. I do all of those things. All of those things that denote a tree. Roots, trunks, branches, leaves. The birds, the bugs, the beasts, the people. That's what a tree does. Except for one thing. One very interesting thing about mustard trees. They have a big taproot. And that grows way down deep into the earth until it gets to the water table. So that whenever the weather is very, very dry, so that all other plants and trees wither and die, mustard tree keeps going. And I am sure we could hop from one parable to another. We could mention from that about the parable of the house built on the rock and the house built upon the sand. But when all of the other trees die and are gone, when hard times hit them, the mustard tree keeps standing. And that is the very problem that many people have today. They don't understand that the Christian has a deep taproot that seeks deeper than the world can seek, that taps into the very God himself and enables us to stand when other people crumble and fail when difficult times come. I don't know how people treat you at your place of work, but I always had a knack of getting on with pretty much anybody. And during our tea breaks, I worked in computers, as some of you know. I worked until the work was done, and then I had a tea break. That's just the way I am, unless it was a very long job. But so I could be having a cup of tea with my own people in my own department, or in the warehouse, or in the accounts department, or the wages department, or even the guys that loaded the lorries. It didn't make any difference to me. But this one particular time, I was sitting having my tea break with the girls, the ladies from the accounts department. I don't know if you know what it's like when a lot of lost women get together and start talking. If there's a man there and a single man, they feel it is their duty to make sure they find him a wife and get him married before he gets up and goes back to work. I kid you, I'm not joking. And I was the eligible bachelor. But they were going through all of these girls that I knew in work. What about this girl? I said, no, she likes to party too much. What about this girl? No, she's got a couple of kids. What about this girl? No, she likes to drink. What about this girl? No. I said, what do you want? How can you be living? How can you have a life if you don't drink, if you don't go out to parties, if you don't spend the night in a different bed every time you close your eyes? How are you supposed to have a life? And I just said, this is what I want. Little did I know that the Lord was listening and had Monica all lined up for me, and the rest, as they say, there is history. But I have had people tell me, why don't you go out and get a life? How can you enjoy yourself when you don't drink? How can you have any thrills whenever you're not out running about the country in different people's houses? How can you not relax without a glass of wine or a glass of alcohol? How do you have a life? And I'm sitting there thinking, what sort of life do you have when you run the country, when you do your drugs, whenever you have to be wined and dined and fortunes of money spent upon you? I'm saying exactly the same thing. I listed a few things here that a lot of people seem to think very highly of and would even get bent out of shape about if you said, hold on a wee second. How can you have a life if you're not out at parties? If you don't subscribe to adultery and fornication and homosexuality? I could spend the rest of the evening just trying to keep a track of all the different names they give themselves. How do you get by in life without the odd lie to cover over the cracks? How do you feel if a cashier at a checkout gives you too much change? Like, how do you get by when you're honest? How do you live? How do you live without knowing what's coming next, without getting your cards done? Anyone ever heard of people getting their cards read or their fortunes told? How do you live without reading the stars? Have you any idea what a day may bring unless you read your horoscopes in the newspapers? What thrills do you have as a Christian? And we get caught up in that. Because a lot of times we sit with our eyes open and our mouths closed and our brains checked out when we watch the TV, when we surf the internet, when we look at the newspapers, when we watch our movies and TV, or in the cinema, we literally check out and we just record everything with no critical thought whatsoever. And so when people say to us, how do you have a life as a Christian? Surely it must be very boring. Do you know all of the things that people are looking for in this world that God says no? People have set up as idols in their own hearts. And these things are filthy and faulty substitutes for the things that God has for his children and even for God himself. Every single one of them will kill you. Maybe not in the night, but every single one of them will kill you. Might take a day or two, might take a year or two, might even take a decade or two, but every single one of them will kill you if you pursue them. If I got to a thing like that, always says, well, what does the Christian life have for the child of God? One of the things, there's going to be a couple of things here, I know are killing people, that God gives to his children. The first one is salvation. The free, for sure, and forever salvation. Only to be received when you repent of your sins and trust the finished work of Christ on the cross as your Savior. That's the only way to get it. Amen. It's not by putting money on the plate, not by singing like an angel, not by helping little old ladies or little old men across the road. That's it.
Amen.
And people are dying. They're grinding themselves into the earth, trying to save their souls. And God gives that away for free.
Amen.
I know you guys over here, you have to have trash bag tokens, don't you? Not everywhere.
No.
I know Pastor Hayne does. I see them sitting stuck in the garage. How would you feel if someone said to you, instead of you having to go to the store and buy your trash tags or whatever it is, someone came to you and said, I'll give you $1,000 for each bag of trash. Many would say, here's 15 bags of trash. I'll go in and fill up some trash bags out of the house. How would you feel about that? That's what Jesus does. He says, give me all your trash and I will give you eternity. I will make you a child of the King of Kings. And that's what God gives us, and that's what people need. He gives us forgiveness of our sins.
Amen.
And do you know what? That is killing people. The things that people have done, it rattles around in the back of their heads. And if people don't get that sorted out, that causes big problems. And God gives us forgiveness. Guilt eats people alive. And whenever you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you can commit that all to him. He took that upon his shoulder. So let him have it. And another thing we're beat for. Does everybody understand what that means? If you're beat for something, it means we're looking for something to do, or we really need it. And if we don't get it, we are done. Is a noble purpose. Does anyone know what a noble purpose is? Something that's important, something that is grand, and more importantly, something that each one of us can accomplish. And Jesus Christ has that for us. It is the very work of God. Did you know that? What did Jesus come to this world to do? To seek and to save that which was lost?
Yes,
and what's the last thing he said whenever he went up into heaven? You see the stuff that I was doing? I want you to do that. I want you to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching men to observe all the things that I have taught you, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Is that not what Jesus was doing whenever he was here on this earth?
Mm-hmm.
Of course it was. That's what we need. And it may not seem like a big thing, but I guarantee you, if all of the soaps on TV and all of the detective shows showed real Christians doing real Christian work and rejoicing when a soul got saved, or rejoicing when a saved soul grew and took a step out of their diapers, Christians would get far more, I was going to say, bent out of shape in a good way whenever they served Jesus. We would.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
A lot of people think, oh no, I have to serve Jesus today. That's the way a lot of Christians go.
Right.
If you said, go and tell someone, go and tell, give that fella, give that, I'm not talking about you, Brother John, Sister Sam, I'm talking, give that person sitting outside the window, yeah. Give them a gospel tract. You would go, oh, do I have to do that? You're beat before you even start. And that's where one of the great thrills of Christianity lies, in serving the King of Kings.
Amen.
And not just serving the King of Kings. When Jesus sends you out, he sends you out against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And do you know the greatest victory that you can have over anything in this world is over yourself?
Yeah.
When you realize you don't have to sit in that little box
that
the world wants to put you in. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You want a thrill? When you pray about souls, when you prepare to go out to meet souls, to speak to souls, and then whenever you are and you're praying and you can even see the world, the flesh and the devil reminding them of bad things in their heads, and you know even as you speak the words that you're praying for their souls, that you are contending with everything that the devil can throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
And should that person get saved or not, it is only important that you are faithful. That's all that's important. But in being faithful, you can walk hand in hand with God. This is what these are the things that go through my head. You might think by the time I'm done, that head's a scary place. These are the things that go through my head. He that confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. That goes through my head. I want Jesus to be proud of me in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Another verse is, Lord, I know I've heard hundreds, thousands even of sermons. I have read the Bible maybe a dozen times through from cover to cover and more. And the little bits here and there that we used to read before we started reading through the Bible faithfully. I know I've sung hundreds of songs, hundreds and thousands of times. But you know what, Lord? As I stand in front of this person, I can't think of a single thing to say to them. Lord, you promised in your Bible, in your word, that when I'm on the spot, when I'm delivered up, that I am not to worry about what to say. But you will give me the very words to say. And do you see when you take God at his promise and he takes you by the hand and keeps that promise? Do you want a thrill greater than walking arm in arm with God? Let me ask you another question. Young people, or people that are young enough to remember the guy in the blue tights and the red underwear and the red cape. Does anybody know he has a big S on his chest?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know who that is?
Mm-hmm. Superman.
Autumn knows. Superman, of course.
Superman.
Of course. If Superman knocked on any of our doors and we looked out and there was this guy as big as a house with the red and blue underwear on and says, you know who I am, don't you? You say, yeah, you're Superman. You're indestructible. You can fly. Nothing can hurt you. You have X-ray vision. I know who you are. I know by the curl. I can't do that anymore. I used to be able to. I know by the curl you're Superman. Your name's Clark Kent. But I know you're Superman. And if Superman said to any one of the kids here, because us adults, we think we're above things like this. Superman said to you, take my hand. Come with me. We will have adventures that ordinary people can't even think about or conceive, and I promise that I will bring you safely home. What? I know what I would do. I would be away. Would you not go? You wouldn't see him, Trevor, yeah? Would you go, Caleb? Yeah, she's thinking about it. You would go, Caleb, yeah? Autumn, not so sure. If it was Supergirl, would you go? Yeah, there you go. Look, gentlemen, I'm too old to be saying that. I'm too old to believe in Superman. Well, that's good. Because there's a man greater than Superman.
Amen.
And he says exactly the same thing. He stands at the door and knocks. And he says exactly the same words. Take my hand and come with me. And we will do things that lost souls can't even understand. We will have adventures and thrills that the world can't even approach to. And I promise I will bring you safely home.
Amen.
How many of us would take his hand? But that's what Jesus promises us. I'm not saying it's all about fast cars and this, that, and the other. The work of a Christian and the battles are fought on our hands and knees many times. And a lot of times with our sleeves rolled up and dirt under our nails. But that's where the war, the battle for the souls of men is fought. And when you get the opportunity to speak to a person face to face and utter the words of eternal life, for in them is the power of God. Understand that you're contending with the very devil himself. But remember what the Bible says. If God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
Now a lot of people would say, well, and we're going to talk about different things. It might be a bit of an anticlimax after talking about Superman and walking with God and things like that. But all of these things are walking with God, and all of them, even the tiniest of them, is important in the Christian life. No drinking. Don't ever put alcohol to your lips. I have read the Bible. I have searched the Bible. I can only find one place in the Bible where Jesus said it's okay to drink, and that's pretty much if you're dying in agony. Something to kill the pain. I have worked in a bar for 7 years from the age of 14, 21. That's actually 8 years. I have seen what alcohol will do to people. I know what alcohol will do to people. I have seen perfectly sane people over the space of 2 pints of beer do stupid things. Throw their chastity out the window. Throw a marriage on the dunghill. I've seen it happen. I've seen people, young, fresh-faced children like myself, turn into red-faced alcoholics. It's not good. Jesus doesn't say a little bit of what you fancy is okay. Call it the temperance movement. You ever hear the temperance movement? People used to say that just means take it easy on things. It doesn't. It means self-control. That means saying no to drugs and no to tobacco and no to alcohol and no to all those things. For the Word of God tells us that if you pollute your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I'm out of time. God will destroy you. So don't do it. God has plans for you. Stay away from drugs.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, well, how can you have fun as a Christian when you can't have girlfriends and boyfriends all over the place? Friends. Does anybody know what Velcro is, do we? That's the plastic stuff that works no matter how many times you take it apart. People think we're like Velcro. We're not. We're like sellotape. We're like scotch tape.
Mm-hmm.
One use, after that, you're hurt.
Yes,
and you're injured.
That's right.
And you're going to be dying.
Amen.
We don't need that. The Lord said, till death do us part, and I know sometimes it just doesn't work out for whatever reason, and the Lord made provision for that too. But the Lord said, I have the right way of doing anything. And I could go on and on and on. I literally could because I have a bunch of stuff here. But the real acid test of a life is what a person thinks of that life whenever they look back at it, at the end of that life. The real acid test is when you wake up at 3:30 in the morning, just you and the Lord.
Yeah.
What's the first thing on your mind? Is it all the times you let him down? Is it the weight of your sins if you're not yet saved? Or is it the hearts, the people that you know in church? They're immediately on your mind and you're praying for them. Which is it?
Good.
Those are where the battles are fought. And there will come a day whenever we stand in front of God. And yes, he'll say to everybody that gets there, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You beat the world, the flesh, and the devil to come to the foot of the cross and to repent of your sins and choose my Son as Savior. Choose me as Savior. Then he's going to say, what did you do with the life I gave you? And some poor Christian soul that never sat under good preaching, that was never introduced and had the greatness of the King James explained to them, is going to say, well, I just blended in. I went vanilla and I blended in with the rest of the world. And the Lord will say, well, that was a wasted life, wasn't it? But there will be others that say, Lord, here is the gold, and here is the silver, and here are the precious stones, the things that I accrued for you, through you, because of you. I just want to give them to you, and thanks. Thanks for walking with me down on earth. You don't have to wait till we get to heaven to know Jesus Christ. We can have that relationship and that life right now. And I want to tell you something, and I am done, honest. I had an old uncle, a great uncle. He was a crusty old bachelor. Do you know what that is? It's like a man that never learned married rules. He never learned to wash his dishes or put the seat down or vacuum the floors or anything like that. Some of you ladies are laughing because you're still married to those men, is that? My brother and myself had the opportunity to go and meet with him in hospital. He was very ill. And we said to him, Richard, do you not want to talk about Jesus? Do you not want to talk about what's going to happen when your life's over? Nope. I'll be fine. I'll be getting out of here and I'll just be back to normal again. Terrified at the thought of eternity. Sure enough, he passed into it not very long afterwards. I would like to think that maybe some of the things we said to him found a home, and in the quietness of his own heart, he confessed to Jesus his sins and asked him to be his Savior, but I have the awful feeling that he didn't. I wouldn't like for that to be anybody. I have sat on the death with Christians very close to death. No fuss, no worry. Yes, there's a bit of sadness at leaving friends and family behind. But there is a joy that it's only so long until we meet again. It's not goodbye forever. And that is the deep taproot that the Christian has that the world doesn't. Peace that the world can't give. Peace that passeth all understanding. Yes, it's there for each one of us that will just let the Lord into every part of our lives. You can say, I'm a tree too. My life is not just a valid life. There'll come a day when it's the only life that matters. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you for your time and attention.
Amen.
And the extra 7 months.
Hey, when you go to your prayer groups, remember Neil Ford was in Rochester today with tests regarding his pancreas condition.